You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferrat.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up, we recap the biggest stories from around the state this week for our Wisconsin News Roundup.
First, it's time for Food Friday. Many cuisines represent a crossroads of different cultures, and Vietnamese cooking is no exception. The mix of Chinese, French, and native Vietnamese flavors and ingredients produces flavorful and often very healthy dishes.
Jacqueline An joins us now. With her mother, Helene, she wrote the cookbook On to Eat, Recipes and Stories from a Vietnamese Family Kitchen. Helene and her daughters run the House of An, a restaurant group in California. Jacqueline, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Well, the beginning of your cookbook, it begins with this fascinating story about how your family got into the restaurant, the culinary profession to begin with, and it was this kind of incredible fluke that ended up sort of saving you all at one point in San Francisco. But I know it's a long story, but can you give us a snapshot of what happened?
Yeah, sure. So my grandmother, well, first of all, my parents, they both come from more of an aristocratic background. And while they've always been around cooking, they never thought that would be something that would be part of their livelihood. But my grandmother, Diana, who's always been very independent, loved to travel, she actually came to the U.S. in 1968. And when she was traveling, she went to San Francisco and just fell in love with San Francisco. And at that time, it was very hard to get a visa unless you had a business. So my grandmother, being the independent and progressive person that she was, said, you know, I'm a great chef. Why not buy over this Italian deli and start the first Vietnamese restaurant? And that's how my mother got started in the restaurant business. And it became, you know, our livelihood once they came over to the U.S.
And the story of how they came to the U.S., this is at the end of the war in Vietnam. Your family came over ultimately as refugees, is that right?
Yes, they came over in 1975. My grandmother was already in the U.S. at that time, and so that, you know, helped the transition, you know, greatly. And, you know, being able to have, she already had the restaurant business at that time, so, you know, that became the family's livelihood, and that's how we got started in the restaurant business.
What kinds of stories do you have about those early days in this restaurant when you started to introduce Vietnamese style dishes into this Italian, what had been this Italian restaurant?
Yeah, that's the really funny part. So when my grandmother first bought the restaurant, and it was an Italian deli, and at that time people really didn't really know what Vietnamese food was. Was it Chinese food? You know, Asian food? They didn't know what was Vietnamese food, and so she actually kept a lot of the Italian dishes on her menu, as well as had some of the Vietnamese dishes as well. And as when my mother came over, we started adding a lot more Vietnamese dishes. And one of our most famous dish, which is the garlic noodles, and it's the most popular dish today, is because it's actually due to my mother seeing how much Americans loved Italian food, you know, love pasta, and how can she create a dish that, you know, has Vietnamese flavors, but yet, you know, was approachable, you know, to the American palate at that time. And that's how our garlic noodles came to be.
Well, can you tell us a little bit about those flavors that are key to Vietnamese food? What are some of the characteristic things that we'll encounter as we cook from your cookbook?
Oh, yeah, sure. So, in terms of Vietnamese food, traditional Vietnamese food, fish sauce is something that we, you know, use a lot of. Garlic, ginger, shallots, green onion. I think those are kind of the base of Vietnamese food, traditional Vietnamese food. In terms of, if you have those ingredients, and a lot of herbs as well. We do that in a lot of our cooking, a lot of fresh herbs. Tieto is a common herb that we use, and it's actually named for one of our restaurants. But my mother used a lot of fresh herbs because it's packed with a lot of antioxidants and vitamins. And in Vietnamese cooking, because it's so hot, especially down south, you know, a lot of our food is, you know, instead of cooking the vegetables, especially down south, you're kind of having that platter of fresh herbs that you often see when you go to a Vietnamese-style restaurant.
And you write about the intersection there of Vietnamese and French and Chinese cooking, all sort of meeting in your restaurants and in Vietnamese cuisine today. Where do you see those different strands coming in?
For example, in our cookbook, and for example, Chinese influence, they dominate our country for over 1,000 years, so there's a lot of contribution from their cuisine, the wok, the use of oil and deep frying in Vietnamese cooking. We have a couple of dishes in our cookbook that talks about stir frying and use of that. That's definitely a lot of comes from the Chinese influence in our culture. And French, I mean, French is such a big part of our cuisine. And, the French, when the French was in Vietnam, Hanoi was the capital, so northern part of Vietnam. And both my parents' family were from northern Vietnam. So in terms of French cooking in our food in our cookbook, it's heavily influencing, you know, the baguette, you know, French, you know, we wouldn't have banh mi if it wasn't for the French, for bringing the baguette in. We wouldn't have the great Vietnamese coffee because the French brought in, you know, the coffee bean and French coffee. And, you know, in terms of butter, using butter, we didn't have cakes and custard at that time. So, and, you know, one of the dishes that I think we're going to talk today about is the banana bread. And, you know, that dish is very much has, due to the French influence in our cooking.
We're talking to Jacqueline Ahn. She's co-author with her mother of the new cookbook, Ahn to Eat, Recipes and Stories from a Vietnamese Family Kitchen. And we want to get cooking, and you just mentioned one of the recipes we've got on our Central Time Facebook page. We'll start with dessert. I never mind doing that. Rum-soaked Vietnamese banana cake. Can you talk us through that one? What makes it special? I mean, the name I think maybe says it all, but tell us about it.
Well, I love this dish, and it's one of those dishes that, you can have it hot or cold. I prefer it a little warm. You can, if you cook it the day before, you can warm it in the microwave, or even if you have it cold, it kind of melts in your mouth. And it's so delicious. The use of coconut milk with milk just makes it a little lighter, rich but then light at the same time. I think that's what makes it so special. I guess you can kind of say that it's a little bit like bread pudding. In that kind of texture and flavor. But I think that really the coconut and the milk together just makes it very nice and light and moist.
Would you serve this as a dessert, or is this something you would have maybe with afternoon coffee?
Oh, you could both. I mean, if you want to make it a little more extra decadent, I've definitely had it with a scoop of ice cream, and that would be a dessert. Really, I had it growing up. I had this so much as an afternoon snack. The rum dissipates, so it's not so strong in terms of rum flavor, but we had this all the time as a snack.
Well, getting to the savory side of things, we've got another recipe we'll get to in a bit, oven roasted lemongrass chicken. But in the technique and equipment part of the cookbook, it seems like a wok is really key to a lot of these recipes. I've bought a wok before, not a very good one, and I forgot about it and ultimately got rid of it. I don't know if I want to go out and get a new one. Can I do a lot of these recipes with something other than a wok? Will you let me off the hook there?
Yes. No, you definitely can. And, you can just use, a nice pan, a steel pan or something. That will work great as well. And Vietnamese cooking, the wok is something we use a lot just because you can also use it for steaming. But, if you're just doing stir fry, then there's really not so much a need for a wok unless you're kind of deep frying or using a lot of oil. And Vietnamese cooking doesn't require a lot of oil. So even with the black cod, which is one of the dish that is in the cookbook, we usually use a regular steel pan for that.
So let's talk about that recipe that Rob just mentioned, the oven-roasted lemongrass chicken. I love lemongrass, and I'd love to know how you get that flavor into the roast chicken. Can you walk us through that one?
Yeah, so with lemongrass, it's really important. When you're using lemongrass, you either smash it or, cut it into very finely thin slices to really get the flavor and aroma out. And so in our recipe, that's one thing we do. We cut it very finely, and then we put it into a blender or a cuisine art, to get out that wonderful lemongrass flavor. So that's one of the tricks for using lemongrass is make sure you pound it. And the soft bulb part is usually what you really want to use. The hard outer leaves of the lemongrass, that's usually something you can discard in terms of when you're using it for roasting or sautéing. And then in like roasted lemongrass, and one thing so great about it is all the fresh herbs that we put in it. My mother is a student of Chinese medicine, so she loves using fresh herbs in her food, and this definitely showcases, you know, kind of her style of cooking this dish right here with the tiacho and the Vietnamese coriander and all the different great Vietnamese herbs that we use in here.
And lemongrass, I'll admit, is something I haven't cooked with a lot. Is it pretty flexible? Can you use it in a pretty big variety of types of meat and other dishes?
Yes, well, we also use it in our pork shoulder dish, so definitely. It's used a lot in chicken and in soups as well, but pork shoulder, you can even use it. It tastes great. We have this other dish that isn't in the cookbook, but with stir-fry, like I said, you know, smash the lemongrass and cut it very finely and stir-fry it with beef, you know, with a nice filet mignon or something, and it has packed such a wonderful flavor.
We're talking right now with Jacqueline An. She wrote a gorgeous new cookbook with her mother, and it's called On to Eat, Recipes and Stories from a Vietnamese Family Kitchen.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you a fan of Vietnamese cuisine? Do you eat it now? Did you grow up with it? Do you have a favorite dish that you'd like Jacqueline's help in recreating at home? Or maybe questions about some of the ingredients and seasonings common in Vietnamese food? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page and get those recipes for oven-roasted lemongrass chicken and rum-soaked Vietnamese banana cake.
More of Food Friday coming up. You're listening to Central Time.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. And we're continuing our Food Friday conversation with Jacqueline An. She co-wrote a new cookbook with her mother, and it's called An to Eat, Recipes and Stories from a Vietnamese Family Kitchen. And you can join in right now at 800-642-1234. Do you enjoy the mix of cuisines, the French and the Chinese that show up in Vietnamese cooking? Is there a favorite of yours that you've tried to recreate at home? Call us at 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Jacqueline, your family was ahead of the curve when it came to Vietnamese recipes and restaurants. We're starting to see more and more of a couple foods out there I wanted to ask you about. First is pho, P-H-O, I think I'm saying it right. Kind of a brothy, soupy thing, often with beef, sometimes with chicken. Can you tell us a little bit about pho and what goes into it?
Well, pho, the cornerstone of pho is the broth, and we actually have one dish in the cookbook with the French onion pho, which is more about the broth than the noodles. So when you're making good pho, you really want to focus on the broth, and the broth has to be very clean and clear and opposed to what's another popular noodle dish, which is ramen right now, which sometimes with ramen broth it can be a lot heavier, and you kind of see that layer of fat. In order to have a very good broth, that layer of fat has to be, it can't be there. So you take the time to kind of let that fat rise to the top and make sure you take out all the impurities and that fat out of the broth. And so what you're left with is this wonderful clean stock. And that's what you really want in a great pho. And in terms of ingredients, I mean, beef bones, leaves, oxtail in our beef pho soup, onions, cardamom pods, ginger, star anise, cinnamon stick. Those are kind of the basic ingredients in pho. But the north and the south makes it slightly different, and I can definitely go into that. Our style of pho in our cookbook leans a little bit more northern style. The south tends to be sweeter, so they would add in daikon or carrots to make that broth sweeter. In our pho dish in the book, I mean, we really just stick with the bones and the onions to give that sweetness to the broth.
We'll take a caller now at 800-642-1234. We've got Mitch on the line in Milwaukee. Mitch, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm actually heading to Chicago, and we're blessed with some excellent Vietnamese restaurants here. And I've been to Vietnam. One thing we've got to pass all the door is your famous lemongrass soup.
Okay, I made out a couple words there. I heard you've been to Vietnam and you love lemongrass soup. I think that's what I got, Mitch. You were breaking up a little. But Jacqueline, tell us about lemongrass soup. Is that one that you're familiar with?
Yes, yes. And lemongrass soup is more common, I think, down in the southern part of Vietnam. And in the key thing when you're making lemongrass soup, again, is like I was saying earlier about lemongrass, don't just put the stock in. You know, you have to make sure you take like a heavy knife or something heavy and smash the bulb to really get out the flavors, and then use that lemongrass to cook in the soup.
Mitch, thanks a lot, and I hope you find some more of that lemongrass soup in your travels. Another dish that we're seeing more and more, in fact, a couple of food carts just around the corner here now, banh mi, the sandwich type deals you mentioned earlier, Jacqueline. Give us a little of the history and what goes into a good banh mi.
The good banh mi is the bread, and the Vietnamese banh mi is slightly different, I guess, than the French baguette you would get at a French bakery. Some Vietnamese baguette use a little bit mix of rice flour, so it's a little bit lighter. I guess if you do a direct comparison, you might notice that the French style baguette is a little bit chewier and heavier in taste, and the Vietnamese baguette is a little bit lighter, and that's due to some people, you know, mixing it with the wheat flour and rice flour. Good banh mi is definitely having, you know, the yummy, delicious meat inside. We often use pate as an ingredient. You don't have to do that. And the pickled carrots and pickled daikon, I think that's very key into your banh mi. It adds that kind of sweet, sour tartness that makes the banh mi so special, that's so popular now.
I want to ask you about a saying that you write about, the saying that you eat with your eyes. You say you actually really eat with your nose, and that's just as important in your family. Tell us about how you guys, your family, try to make sure that the aroma is a big part of what you're cooking.
Yes, that's such a big part in our family's cooking and Vietnamese cooking in general. And that's why my mother's cuisine, if you look through the recipes, so many of her use of herbs, lemongrass, tieto, all these are very fragrant herbs and spices that we use in Vietnamese cooking. And it's Vietnamese cooking, I would say, you know, as opposed to Japanese food, where it's very much, you know, the eyes. You're looking at something that's very beautifully done. Vietnamese food is more about the smell and taste. And when you're having a bowl of pho, you smell the bowl of pho first. And before actually taking a sip. So that's kind of like our philosophy in terms of eating, is smelling the aromas. Again, the lemongrass roast chicken, my best memory of it is every time my mother or grandmother is cooking it, is we can smell it throughout the whole house. And that starts to get our appetite going.
We're talking to Jacqueline Ahn. She's the co-author with her mother of the book Ahn to Eat, Recipes and Stories from a Vietnamese Family Kitchen. Back to our callers now with Jason on the line in Madison. Jason, hi.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
What do you want to bring up, Jason?
So I'm engaged to a Vietnamese-American woman, and so we both eat with her parents a lot, and they make amazing food. But her mom hasn't passed down as many cooking tips to us, and there's one thing that I've been really wanting to know how to make, and my fiancé too. And it's a basic one, I guess. Just how do I make sticky rice?
How to make sticky rice. Jason, thanks. Maybe your mother-in-law will give that to you as a wedding present. But Jacqueline, maybe you can get ahead of that.
Well, sticky rice is a shorter grain of rice. It's sweeter. You can, you know, one way that we like making it, I mean, there's multiple different ways of making it, but one way you can do it is you can put it in banana leaf and steam it, and the banana leaf, you know, adds a wonderful fragrance to it. You can also add a little coconut milk in the banana, in the sticky rice, you know, soak it in coconut milk, and then wrap it in the banana leaf and allow it to steam, you know, put it in a, you know, a regular steamer. You can probably just use any steamer. And that's how you want to cook the sticky rice, is, you know, use a steamer. But yeah, you can add coconut milk if you want to, just make it give it a nice sweeter flavor, or just cook it as is with a little salt in it if you want to make a more savory style sticky rice.
Oh, Jason, hope that helps. It sounds like a couple of great options there for making sticky rice. And time for another caller here. We've got Art on the line next in La Crosse. Art, hello.
Hi. I have made pho at home before, and I tried to dilute the broth because I didn't have as much of the soup bones as I wanted. Mm-hmm. And then also, in the recipe I read, it said I should use a lot of salt because the noodles will soak up a lot of salt when I add them into the broth. And I don't think I use enough salt because when I would assemble the pho, it was just I had to continue to salt it as I ate it.
So it didn't quite work out for you, Art. And do you have any secrets for making pho at home, Jacqueline?
Well, so one thing that we actually add the salt towards the end so once you allow the bones to kind of cook in, filter the impurities. But when you're adding the salt, we like to add everything kind of towards the end. And same thing with fish sauce. When you're adding the fish sauce in our recipe, we actually add it basically once the broth is done, because fish sauce, when you cook it with fish sauce, if you cook it for a long time, it tends to kind of add a kind of sour flavor. And that was something that my mom did not like in terms of taste palate. So I think one thing you want to do with in terms when you're cooking the pho, you know, roast your onions that add a lot of great sweetness. You know, if you have a lot of good bones, definitely use that. The oxtail adds a lot of flavor and sweetness as well. And add your salt towards the end so that it doesn't get too salty, and then you can really kind of basically when it's towards the end, and you can really taste how much salt you want to use. If you put it too early, then you can get your broth too salty. You don't want to.
That's great advice. Thanks to Jacqueline An, her new cookbook written with her mother, An, to Eat. Recipes and stories from a Vietnamese family kitchen. Find recipes for lemongrass chicken and rum-soaked Vietnamese banana cake on the Central Time Facebook page.